I'm pretty excited today. I'll tell you why I'm excited. I don't know how many years ago, but there was a 10-year-old boy, and so many things about salvation, I remember right where I was when it happened. And this 10-year-old boy, who has the same birthday I do, was standing right about here. And he was there to receive Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. Now, I'm no fool. That might have been the 15th time he asked Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. It might have been the 50th time that he asked Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. But I know that that was one of those times, and I got a chance to pray with this young man. Today, he is the director of Kids Town. So when we say things like the kids are dismissed, no kids leave. But when we say kids are dismissed, he's the leader of that group that they go to hear from, and then others that are under him. We are blessed to have him share God's word with us today. So if you could encourage Chet Bruett as he comes forward to give the word, it would be beautiful.
Now, thank you, Pastor Mike. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Ooh, I like the participation. You guys are going to have to do that today. So like Mike said, my name is Mr. Chet. I am the Kids Town Coordinator here at Living Hope Church. I, along with many volunteer leaders here in Kids Town, Crosswalk, Awana, and Youth Group, have the absolute joy of preaching and teaching the Word of God to the youth here at Living Hope Church. Pastor Tracy and I were talking last week, and we actually thought it would be a really good idea to acknowledge all of you today. So if you are a volunteer leader in any of the kids, children's, youth programs here at Living Hope Church, would you please stand? Would you please stand? That's right. Come on, stand. If I got to be up here, you guys are going to get the spotlight shine on you too. That's right. You know, Pastor Tracy and I, we were just really like to acknowledge you guys. We did. We thought the church should as well. Church, you were looking around. You could see them. Church, these individuals, they have a calling. It is one that is to preach and teach the word of God to the kids here at Living Hope Church. It's an absolute joy, honor, and a privilege, and one we don't take lightly. So again, thank you, everyone. Now, I know if any of you were like me, you absolutely would not have liked or enjoyed that, but I think it's important. It's important because we are grateful for all of you. An attitude of gratitude. I think we heard about that a couple weeks back, didn't we, Dad? It's a small gesture, but it's an important one because we appreciate your hard work and your dedication. We just wanted to acknowledge the calling that God has placed on your lives. So again, thank you. So welcome to the second annual Kids Town Christmas program. Now, for those of you who were here last week, you're going to know it's quite a bit different, right? I mean, I'm up here. Last year, we had it back in Kids Town. We had our Christmas lights strung up, had my puppet friends helping me out, had great praise and worship with the Kids Town and Crosswalk kids. But we made the decision not to have it back there, not to cram all of us back into that small room this year, obviously, due to the current events we're living in. But we're going to press on. We will press on. So it's going to look a little different this year, but it's my hope and prayer that you all be blessed by the message that is given today. So just like last year, beware. I am going to call you all boys and girls, okay? But just like last year, I think it's okay. Remember that it says in Matthew 18:3, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So I invite you all to have faith like a child today as you hear the word preached to you. Amen?
Amen.
So as many of you come to know, I like participation. Quick show of hands, who here likes group participation in church? Well, that was a trick question anyway. You guys are going to do it. So before we start Kids Town, we like to ask the boys and girls a question. So parents who know the answers to this, boys and girls, you're going to have to help out everybody here in church because they might not know the answer to this. So we ask them a couple questions. So this is your one free pass to yell out the answers in Big Kid Church, okay? So just yell out, Pastor Mike, I promise we're not going to set precedence here. It's just this one week, okay? So the first question, why are we here? To learn about God. Outstanding, that's right. Because the more we learn about God, the more he reveals who and what he is. And we can have great comfort when God reveals who and what he is. All right, next question, who do we serve? Jesus, that's right. Because when we have the Spirit of Christ living inside of us, and when we surrender to him, he works in us and he works through us. And when that happens, we not only get to serve Jesus, but we get to serve those here in this church and those people in the communities in which we live. All right, great job, everybody. Last question. Who here has ever heard the name Emmanuel? Yeah, we actually sang about it today, Pastor James. It's like you knew what I was going to be talking about. So last year, in the first Kidstown Christmas, we learned about the Prince of Peace. Well, this year, we're going to learn about Emmanuel. So participation time, everyone. Every time I say the name Emmanuel, I want you guys to say God with us. I thought you guys were going to get a little bit better. We need to practice. Okay, so I'm going to say Emmanuel. You're going to say God with us. Okay, ready? Emmanuel. Well, we don't even need to practice anymore. Good job. All right. So remember, every time in my message, you hear the name Emmanuel, you are going to say, all right. Speaking of the message, the title of today's message is God's Revealed Truth. Now, you don't have to raise your hands for this one. Okay. I just want you to think about it. Just think about it. Who here has ever maybe asked the question? Maybe you've asked the question to yourself, or maybe you've asked a question to somebody else, or maybe you've ever thought about this question. The question is God real? Who here has maybe ever talked to somebody about this question, maybe asked this question, or maybe thought of this question? Where are you, God? Right? Like, God, where are you? You know, I think these can be common thoughts, common sayings among Christians and non-Christians alike. You know, some of you may have said that this year, 2020. Am I right? What a year. I mean, we got bad things happening all around us, bad things that are happening to us. Lost jobs, depression, sickness, and death. Feelings of loneliness, dread, and fear. Not knowing what the future is going to hold. Quite possibly asking the questions, is God real, or God, where are you? If you're ever wondering where he is, he wants you to know today that he is Emmanuel. And I'll let you in on a little secret. One of the places you can find Emmanuel. He's in here. This is the Bible. Okay, for those of you that don't know, this is the Bible. So your homework for the week is to go home, read it, get back to me next week, we'll discuss it, and I'm going to close in prayer, okay? Yeah, the quickest message ever. I think I nailed it, Pastor Mike. Right? But it's not always that simple for us, is it? No, I mean, we still have our struggles in life. We might have those questions pop to the surface of our mind. Well, hopefully by the end of today, I will have challenged you in finding out for yourself how awesome this book really is. So you can personally find out for yourself the answers that God wants you to know to the questions that you have. One more time. I want you to know how awesome this book really is. So you can personally find out for yourself the answers that God wants you to know to the questions that you have. Because for many of us, we know that this is more than a book. For us, this is God's revealed truth. To us Christians, this is God breathed. And when God breathes into anything, life happens. And because God breathed into this book by his Holy Spirit, when we read it, it'll bring life into us. Now, some of you might not believe that. That's okay. To you, all I ask for today is that you open your mind to new possibilities, this wealth, this spring of truth, that the Bible is actually something special, and you might find truth in it. And I understand some of your objections to why this might not be truth. You know, people wrote it, people make mistakes, people are not perfect, so the Bible must be full of mistakes and must be not perfect, right? Well, a lot of people, they think this way, they do. But let me share with you why I, as a believer, understand this to be the infallible word of God, incapable of being wrong without one mistake in it. Now, there is more evidence for the reliability of just the New Testament alone than for any other 10 pieces of classical literature combined. It's true. There has been over 24,000 copies found of the New Testament. That's more than any other document in history, by far. Now, there are so many tests to make sure these documents are reliable. There was intense labor and work the scholars of the day had to go through to copy these manuscripts, word for word. They speak the word, they write the word. They speak the word, they write the word, and so on. one teeny tiny little mistake, and they would have to destroy that document. How'd you like that job? Not me. I'm not patient enough. There are many, many historical documents and materials that confirm the accuracy of the Bible. It is consistent, and it is free from contradiction. Now, the Bible, it's many books coming together, right? And when you read it, you will see a continuity and a unity and a harmony that starts from the very first verse in Revelation, Genesis, to the very last verse in Revelation. Boys and girls, this is huge. This book was written over the course of almost 1,500 years. So from the start of the very first verse written to the very last verse written, almost 1,500 years. It was written by so many different kinds of people. Kings, peasants, shepherds, military men, a royal cupbearer, tent maker, tax collector, doctor, fisherman, just to name a few. Also many and very different kinds of people. Now you ask a group of these people to come together today to agree on anything, you know that wouldn't happen. It was written on three different continents in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, with all that diversity. I'm just talking so much diversity. Yet all that harmony, the continuity, and the unity in the Bible, it should have been impossible to have happened. Impossible for us, but not for God. Now some books made it in, right? Well, how do we know what books made it in? Why did they make it in? And why were some left out? Well, there's a lot of answers to that question. A real popular one is political pressure. But it wasn't any of that. No, see, God's people over time recognized those books that came with divine authority. You know, it wasn't a group of people that said, hey, let's take these thousands of manuscripts and books and narrow it down to just 66. No, these books were considered to already have divine authority. It was obvious to almost everyone in the church. And over time, it was being pieced together. Isn't that mind-blowing that the Bible was being pieced together before it was even fully written over that course of almost 1,500 years? It's hard to comprehend, right? In 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, Peter talks about Paul. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Even Peter admits that some things are hard to understand, yet he points to Paul's letters and says they are scripture. They were already recognized as God-breathed. All this diversity, I think, is best can be explained in 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they are carried along by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I think this can best be explained like this. Okay, say there's a river, right? And the river ends up in the ocean. The ocean is the final destination, right? Now we have all these biblical writers. They're being carried down this river. They're all on their own unique rafts, but are being carried down this. I'll get it. But are being carried down the same river to the same destination. All these different people, these different personalities, all being carried down on their own unique rafts down the same river to the same destination. All being carried by the Holy Spirit of God. So you see, it's the Holy Spirit that is the author of the Bible. So since it's God's Holy Spirit writing the Bible, we can all know for certain that it is infallible. It is without error. There are no mistakes. It is thoroughly true. And because it was written by the Holy Spirit, it applies throughout all the generations and into our lives today. Isn't that good news? Anyone who is being persecuted because of their belief in Christ, those who are weary and tired, those who are tempted to throw in the towel, those who are bored with religion and rituals, who are struggling with their walk with Jesus, if any of you are truly seeking what God is all about, the Bible is deep, rich, awesome stuff. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. Now, the chief character here is God, right? God wants us to know him. He wants us to know that he is Emmanuel. That's right. He wants us to know he's with us. His greatest joy is relationship with you and with me, with us. This happened in the past with the prophets. God was so incredibly creative through all of this. Dreams, rainbows, burning bushes, the still small voice, visions, life experiences, a large fish with Jonah, right? How crazy creative was that? He did this through sermons and songs, questions and answers, like in Malachi, just to name a few. God did all of this because he wanted us to know that he is Emmanuel. But that was just the start. You know, you read the Old Testament, you realize it was incomplete. It always hinted at something, didn't it? It was good, but it could be better. So what did God do? He sent his son Jesus to come and walk on this earth with us, to show us another way of him literally being Emmanuel. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." Those words, spoken to us by his son. Jesus is the final word. Everything that is Christ is the Father's last word. We have everything we need to navigate this world and enter the next because of Christ, the word of God. We fix our eyes on Jesus. And as we focus on him, he guides and directs and leads through his word. Christ, he is the heir of all things. He owns everything. Christ has the authority over all things, boys and girls. He made the universe. He is the creator of the universe, which means he is the most creative being in the universe. So for those of us who are struggling, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the word of God. We fix our eyes on Jesus because he is Emmanuel. So the Bible is God-breathed. It is God's revealed truth. It is true. It is infallible. It has been relevant throughout every age, continues to be relevant today, and it will be relevant in the future. It is God with us. Now that's just the tip of the iceberg. I don't have enough time to explain even a fraction of it. Okay, I explained a fraction of it, but that's all I can do. What I can do is help give you some references to help you. Now, many of you might know who Josh McDowell is, right? He spent most of his life learning about the scriptures, about the truth of the Bible. What some of you might not know is he actually has a crazy story of where he started out in his faith. Did you know he actually dropped out of college to prove that the Bible was false? Yeah, spent years trying to disprove it until one day he was in his studies and he heard a voice say to him, "It's useless, you know." And the more he studied, the more he researched, the more he knew the Bible is true. He then went into finding out all he could about the truth of the Bible. Josh McDowell has written and co-authored 151 books. Now, that's a lot of books. I won't expect you guys to read half of those. What I can do is point to two that I've read. The first is Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Many of you have heard about this book. Fewer of you have read it. Why? Well, look at this thing. It's big, right? But I'm telling you, it's a great book. I would challenge you to. This was ranked number 13th in Christianity Today's list of the most influential books after World War II. It's a great book. But if you want to get your feet wet a little bit, maybe not want to dive into something so big, I got another book. This was called God Breathed. It's also by Josh McDowell. It's a great book. And as you can see, it's much smaller, much easier to read, right? I mean, these books, they talk about the infallibility of the Bible. They're great books to better understand that. But there are other books out there, too. There are other authors out there. Henry Morris, Jonathan Hammond. Many of you are familiar with Ken Ham, right? He's the Ark guy. I don't think that's his official title, but you know what I mean. These are just two books that I've read to help me better understand that. Find out what works best for you. The Bible. It's full of answers, boys and girls. You want to know about salvation? The Bible. You want to know about how to pray? The Bible. You ever read about Elijah? I mean, this is pretty much a prayer, right? I mean, it's just him and God through most of it. Did you ever think about that? About learning how to pray by reading Elijah? I didn't until I Googled it. Google is a great reference, a great tool. I mean, come on, how do you think I knew Josh McDowell had written, co-authored 151 books? It wasn't because I read them all. Google, it's a great tool. But there are other great tools out there, great references. Many of you have smartphones. You have the Bible app, right? Bible apps have great references and tools in them. There's also study Bibles. This one is mine. This is called the Dake. I don't think it's any better or any worse than anyone out there. It's just one that my dad happened to get for me about 20 years. It's been going on now. You're getting old, Dad. But a great thing about these study Bibles, in the back, they have something called the Complete Concordance and the Encyclopedic Index. These are great tools to help you navigate through the Bible. All these things, you know, Google, Bible apps, books, study Bibles, they're all great tools to help you navigate through the Bible, to find the right places, to help you find the answers to the questions that God wants you to know, to the questions that you have. It might not be the answers that you want. It might not be the answers that you want, but it's the answers that God wants you to know to the questions that you have. So you want to know about some of my 2020? I had to learn about waiting. Not having my prayers answered, but still trusting God. Waiting during the stay-at-home orders. Waiting for toilet paper and paper towel to come back to the store shelves. We all remember how fun that was, right? Still waiting for COVID to end. Waiting for my kids to go back to school because it's been since March. There's sometimes tension and conflict and frustrations that go with that. Waiting for a fractured finger to heal. Waiting for medical results to come back for loved ones. These are just some of my examples. You know where I had to turn to learn about waiting and not having my prayers answered the way I wanted them to be answered, but still find trust in God? The book of Habakkuk. Yeah, you heard me, Habakkuk. Did you even know there was a book of Habakkuk? I will say this. If you blink, you miss it, right? And God, he's so smart. He is so smart. I think he used humorous irony here because to teach me, a person who doesn't like waiting and is impatient, he gave me the small 3-chaptered book of Habakkuk. He did that for me. He can do that for you. And now every time I hear the word Habakkuk or read it in the Bible, I'm going to think about 2020, waiting for God. Prayer is not answered the way I wanted them to be answered. But man, did my trust in God grow. Boys and girls, the answers are in here. You know, you might eventually hear them preached to you on a Sunday morning. Sure, you might. But God wants more than just 1 hour of your week. He's a relational God. He's all about relationships. He is Emmanuel. All right. You know, I can have one of my daughters go tell my wife, hey, tell mom that I love her. And they'll run up to her and say, hey, Dad says he loves you. And, you know, she'll believe them and me. But how much better is it for me and my wife if we tell each other that we love each other in person? That's a relationship. Dig into the Word. Study the Word. Use Google. Get a Bible app. Study Bibles. Whatever. God is there waiting for you to sit with him, to be with him. Let him reveal his truth to you using the truth, the God-breathed Word. So 2020, it's been difficult for me. Has it been difficult for you? I know for many of you it has. For some, it's been really hard. I want to talk about one more verse before I close. And then our AV friends are going to play a video for us. It's in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. God with us. Now, when we read this, I think our response should be, yes, thank you, God, for always being with me. God has come into this world in order to be with us and bring us comfort. Not to be uncomfortable, unfortunately, not to be comfortable, but a deep sense of well-being because he is Emmanuel. That's right. He is with us. We can know great comfort because of God's presence. You know, people say there is no God or I don't believe in God because they create their own versions of who and what God is. We are made in his image and we try to make him into ours. There is great comfort when God reveals who and what he is. Remember one of the first things I asked this morning, why are we here? To learn about God. Because there is great comfort when God reveals who and what he is. He is with us. He is our shepherd. There is no place on earth that God will not be with you. We don't have just anyone taking care of us. We have the Lord taking care of us. The Lord. Well, this is not self-confidence or arrogance or cockiness. It's not. This is just me believing in what God says through his revealed truth. And if we commit our lives to him, he will direct our paths. Too often, we want to direct our own paths while God does the committing to us, right? It's like we say, all right, God, all right, I'm going to direct my own path. Now you commit to helping me. No, God is saying, you commit to me and I will direct your path. Are you struggling with darkness in your world? I say, fix your eyes on Jesus, the Word of God, and he will illuminate the darkness and help you find your way. You're trying to hold something together, exerting energy over worry and fear. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the Word of God, the sustainer of all things, the sustaining power of God through Jesus Christ. He restores souls. Have you ever lost heart? Ever get discouraged? Yeah, it's all right. We all do. I just think it's not all right to stay there. Christ our Lord is in the business of restoring you and me, of encouraging us, of getting us on our feet again. Sometimes we walk through the darkest valleys, but God is still with us, right up to the end, if that's his will. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever if we believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ. Amen? He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is Emmanuel. This is just some of the truth that God wanted to reveal to you today. There's so much more. Get into the Word. Read it. Study it. God is there waiting for you to be with him, to sit with him. Have God reveal his truth to you starting today. Amen? Amen. AV, if you could play that video, please. Thank you.
Be not dismayed. Is here, he walks beside us. Gracious is he through all our weakness, forever faithful, forever good. Emmanuel, God with us.
We're going to take communion together, but before I do, if you could please bow your heads.